I remember as a young boy learning the first question and answer to the Shorter Catechism, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I think at the heart of every true Christian there is a desire to live a life that glorifies the Savior. We want a meaningful purpose to our lives so that when we come to the end of our days upon earth and we come face to face with our Savior, we want Him to be able to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. So when we get to the end of our life, the question is, what will we have accomplished for the Lord? What will our life have counted for? What was the purpose behind the things that we did? As I said, every Christian knows that we are here to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, but how do we do that? Well, I believe that we glorify God and enjoy Him by living each day in submission to Him and by using the gifts that He has given to us for the glorifying of His name, for the building up of His saints, and for the extending of His kingdom. And here in our text in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells us in verse 7 that Christ has given spiritual gifts to His church, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Paul's word grace here is a reference to spiritual gifts, to God's undeserved favor extended to us. Now the first question that comes to mind is, what is a spiritual gift? Well, I believe a spiritual gift is an ability that reveals the power of God's Holy Spirit in our life, and as I said already, is used for His glory, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and for the extending of His kingdom. And there are certain things about spiritual gifts that I want you to understand this morning. First of all, that every believer has been given a gift. Notice what verse 7 says, but unto every one of us. And Paul includes himself with those to whom he's writing, and he says, every one of us. He doesn't want anyone to think, well, of course, the Apostle Paul has many gifts, but who am I in comparison to him? I don't have any spiritual gifts, so to speak. No, Paul says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There are four chapters in the New Testament that speak specifically about spiritual gifts, and the significant thing is that in each of those chapters, there's an emphasis that every believer has been especially gifted by God. Let me turn you to them just very quickly if I can. Romans chapter 12, and in verse 3, Paul says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And he goes on to speak about some of the various spiritual gifts. But he says in verse 6, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So he's saying pretty much the same thing as he's saying here in Ephesians 4, that we have all received a gift, and whatever gift we have received is due to God's grace. Now, what about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 this time? Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And then after listing again a number of spiritual gifts, he says in verse 11, But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So again, to every one of us. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. And Peter divides spiritual gifts under two headings. He talks about serving gifts and speaking gifts. And 1 Peter chapter 4 this time, verse 10. As every man, again, every man received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I love that little term, manifold grace of God. You know what it means literally? The multicolored grace of God. Gifts and types of all varieties and God's given to every man, each and every one, differing gifts to be used in his service. So wherever we find spiritual gifts mentioned in the New Testament, we find it explicitly mentioned that God gives them to each and every member of his church. So let me say categorically this morning that if God has saved you, then he has also graciously equipped you with certain gifts with which you are to serve him, and there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. Each of us have been gifted by God to serve him. Now, verses 8 through to 10 of Ephesians 4 tell us that these spiritual gifts have been given to us by Christ himself. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, that he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, we read from Psalm 68 this morning because we have a direct quote in our passage, verse 18 of Psalm 68. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. The significant thing about Psalm 68 is that we refer to it as a messianic psalm. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the illustration of a conquering king. And Paul's drawing upon that picture. He might be alluding to David there in the Psalms, who conquered the Philistines. Those Philistines who had kept God's people in captivity are now taken captive themselves. And David made an open show of some of them when he came back from war. He ascended up the hill of Mount Zion, that great hill that overlooks Jerusalem, and he made an open show of his enemies. It was typical in the ancient world. Conquering generals returned home, and they'd have a procession that followed them, their prisoners of war in chains, as a sign of their victory. And they would lead the captive in chains, showing everyone just who had been conquered. They led captivity captive in a parade and a celebration. And the returning generals would give gifts and the spoils of war to the people. He took the gifts and spoils of war and distributed them. But Paul's saying that the Lord Jesus is the conqueror. He is the king who has conquered. And Christ, who has ascended into heaven after securing victory over his enemies, that includes Satan and all of his evil hosts, defeated at the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus has said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ has stormed the gates of hell, and no one can stop him from taking captivity captive. He plunders the strong man's goods, and by his death upon the cross, he has conquered all of his enemies and all of ours. And he's taken away our captivity, and he's taken the devil's spoils, and he ascends the hill of victory. And he sets the captives free, and we who were once his enemies have been brought to willing submission at his cross. We are now his willing captives, ready to obey the one that we formerly hated. Christ has taken us out of the hands of the wicked one and given to us grace and spiritual gifts. He's given to each and every one that he saves a gift with which to serve him. You think about that for a minute. Christ has saved you, delivered you from the captivity of sin, has brought you into willing service in his kingdom, and he gives you the very gifts that are necessary for you to serve him. Now, our Savior distributes these gifts according to his purposes. And Paul emphasizes this every time he speaks about spiritual gifts. In Romans 12, as we noted before, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. 1 Corinthians 12 and 11, the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally or individually as he will. Here in Ephesians 4 and 7, grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The measure or the specific portion of the gift that's given to you has come by the purposes of Christ. He has measured out the exact proportion of each believer's gift. Now, I confess that there are times that I'm jealous of the gifts that others have been given. I'm jealous sometimes of those who can stand up and speak so effortlessly. I'm jealous sometimes of those who can sing so beautifully or play musical instruments. Those are not gifts that I've been given. I'm a little bit jealous of those who make social interactions with one another seem so easy, and who can share their faith with everyone that they meet. There are gifts that we do not have, and there are gifts that we do have, but we bow before the Lord and bow before his sovereignty and accept the gifts that he has given to us. The Lord Jesus has done something wonderful when he distributed gifts to his church, because by his gifts, every single Christian becomes different than everyone else. We've been talking about the unity within the church, but it's a unity with diversity. We've all been given different gifts, different abilities, whether that's teaching or serving or encouraging or being generous with what you have, your stewardship, your leadership, your ministry. We've all been gifted in different ways. The gifts make us different from one another. There are gifts that have been given to us by the Lord so that we might serve him and so that we might benefit one another, that we worship alongside and serve alongside. Let me take you through a set of questions that Paul asks in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when speaking about spiritual gifts. Here's what he says: are all apostles? No, of course not. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have the gift of healing or of tongues or interpretation? No. Paul is saying that our gifts differ from one another. But we have the gift that Christ has specifically chosen for us. If you ever buy gifts for someone, there's two ways of doing it, I suppose. You can buy the first thing that you see and say, that'll do them. Or you can take time to think about the person that you're giving the gift to, what they might appreciate, what they might like, what they might find useful. Perhaps there's something about them that you say, this is just the perfect gift for that person. Now tell me, which attitude do you think the Lord Jesus took when it came to distributing gifts and a measure of faith to his people? I'll just give them whatever, I don't really care. Do you think he said that? Or do you think he said, here's a particular gift that's particularly suited for that person, who they are, where they are, and who they're going to be with, that gift will be beneficial not only to them, but to those who are around them, and they'll serve me with this gift. It's perfectly suited for them. And since Christ has given us these gifts, purposefully, sovereignly, we must use them then as he directs us. So rather than complaining about the gifts that we didn't get, let's use the gifts that we did get. Our sovereign Lord has distributed these gifts according to his purposes, and therefore we are accountable as to how we use these gifts that he has given to us. Because each of the gifts that the Lord distributes are essential. They're essential for the body life of the church and for our outreach into this world. The Lord Jesus knows just exactly what gifts are needed by his church, and he gives each and every one of us and each and every gospel congregation those gifts that are necessary. The Lord in glory said, you know, there's a little congregation in Kingston that could do with some of these particular gifts that I've given to some of my people, so I'll give them those gifts. None of the gifts that we are given are useless or worthless or redundant. There isn't one of us here today that can say that I have no gift that I can use in service of the Lord Jesus. He gives us relevant gifts. He gives us gifts that are perfectly suited for who we are and where we are and when we are. Our current needs are his concern. And contrary to popular opinion, there is no distinction in the New Testament between the so-called clergy and the laity, the minister and the people. It's true that some of us are supported in a full-time capacity in various ministries, but in one sense we're no different. We're gifted in different ways for the service of the church and of our Savior. Some are given leadership gifts for the benefit of the saints, but in one sense every true Christian is in the ministry. In that sense, we have a spiritual gift that we will give an account of in the day when we meet the Savior. And never forget that your gift to serve Christ is an undeserved privilege. Paul emphasizes that there in verse 7 when he talks about grace and gift and given. Because our spiritual gifts were given to us by grace, there is therefore no room for boasting or for pride. Paul asked the question in 1 Corinthians 4, who maketh thee to differ from another? Or what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Since it's Christ that gives us gifts differing from one another, and it's he that has given them to us and not us ourselves, why do we boast? Why are we full of pride? Or let me ask another question, why are we grumbling? Just because we didn't get the gift we thought that we wanted, or we didn't get the gift that another had that we might have liked? Let's never forget that we were rebels. That we've been brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, saved as his people and put into his church, are now part of his body, and we're willing subjects to this great king, and he has gifted us with abilities to serve him, and it's all of grace. Where would we be? We'd be without hope and without God in this world, living for vain pleasures and headed for an eternal punishment, except Christ intervened. So if you're tempted to stop serving the Lord because someone hurt your feelings, or because someone didn't appreciate what you did the way that you thought that they ought to have done. Stop and think about the undeserved privilege of serving Christ. And know one day we will give an account to Him. And since Christ has chosen our gifts that are applicable to us and beneficial to His church, does it not then stand to reason that we must give an account to Him one day of how we use those gifts? If you have chosen a gift, especially for a loved one, would you not be interested to see how much they valued it, how much they used it? If you'd spent your life and time and effort building up a business with a stellar reputation, wouldn't you be interested knowing that the person to which you leave it to will carry on that good name and use it well? These gifts of Christ were bought by His agony and by His bloody sweat in Gethsemane and on Golgotha. These are blood-bought gifts that have been freely and lovingly entrusted to us by Him. Don't you think He wants to know how you're going to use them? If we'd only time, we could read in Matthew 25 of the parable of the talents, but I know that you're familiar with it. The Lord Jesus pictured a man going on a journey, and He entrusted 5 talents to one servant and 2 to another and 1 to the third. Now, a talent is not a gift here. It's a measure of money. But how are they going to use it? The man with 5 talents went and traded and gained 5 more. And upon his Lord's return, his Lord said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." The man to whom he had given 2 talents did the same and gained 2 more. And the Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." But the man to whom had been given 1 talent, he hid the money. And upon his master's return, he gave him back that 1 talent, unused. And the master accused him of being a wicked and lazy servant, and ordered that he be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a frightening parable in that the lazy servant goes to hell. I didn't make this up. The Lord Jesus told this story. There is a danger for the person who isn't given much, only 1 talent, a real danger that they'll just hide it away and think, "Well, I can't do much with this 1 talent, so I won't do anything." Take heed of the parable. If you do not serve the Lord in any capacity, then it's probably a safe indication that you haven't been saved at all. If the man with 1 talent had even used that 1 talent, the master said, even loaned it out and taken a measure of interest back in return, it would have shown at least he was a true servant of his master, faithfully using what he had been given. But by not using it at all, by spending his time on his own selfish pursuits, showed that he wasn't a true servant of the master at all. We all need to carefully consider, am I using that gift that God has given me for His glory and for His kingdom? Now I'll say one last thing about our gifts. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul's writing to young Timothy, who has been given a charge to preach the gospel. And Paul tells him in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, "Stir up the gift of God which is in thee." Sometimes our gifts need to be stirred up. In other words, there's a very real danger that the gift that we've been given will be next to useless unless we start using it. Maybe the gift that we've been given is languishing and very close to extinction. And if Timothy, who had so many privileges, needed to be exhorted to do more with the gift that he had been given, maybe you and I need the same exhortation. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Maybe you can think of voices that were once raised in the prayer meeting interceding for the church that are not heard any longer. Stir up that gift once again. Maybe you can think of those that were faithful in evangelism and reaching out to others and telling them of their need of Christ, but they're not doing it any longer. And if we leave our gifts neglected, perhaps they will die. Do you ever think of the possibility of a Christian losing their gifts? Is it possible? Possibly. I don't know for definite. But I know that Paul told the church in Thessalonica, quench not the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. If we won't use the gifts that God has given to us, we might find ourselves like the one talent man who has his talent taken from him and given to another. That's how the parable ends. Could this be the reason why some don't become members of the local church? Because they don't want to be challenged about using their gifts for the benefit of God and his people? How many people have God given gifts that are unused or underutilized because they won't join a local church and place their gifts at the disposal of one another? How many Sunday school teachers are we missing out on because you won't join a church? How many deacons or elders are we missing out on because you won't commit to a local congregation? There are roles within local churches that can only be filled by those who are in membership of it. How many gifts are we missing out on because you won't commit? Or you think it's too costly? That the gift that God has given to you is too costly. It demands too much of your time. Too much effort. And so you start to extinguish the gift without realizing what you're actually doing. You don't want that responsibility brought into your life, so you dismiss the gift, fail to use it. Because you're afraid of the commitment. To exercise the gift that I've been given interferes with what I want to do with my life, so I quench the Spirit. I don't give any oxygen to it. No faith or love. I don't exercise my gift. I don't care for it. I don't nourish it. I don't train it or discipline it. I simply neglect it. Well, tell me, what happens to that houseplant if you neglect it? It dies. What happens to that pet of yours if you neglect it? What happens to a child if you neglect it? So it is with the gifts of God that he's given to us. We can despise them and quench them and neglect them, or we can stir them up. We can be revived. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Well, how then can I fan into a flame this gift that God has given to me? Notice what Timothy is told. Take heed of thyself. Start there. Look to your own soul. How's your devotion to the Lord? How close is your walk with the Savior? We can't afford to neglect our own souls. We can't afford to neglect the disciplines of reading the Scripture and praying and hearing the Word of God being preached. Otherwise, how will we ever use our gifts? And that gift that God has given to you needs to be nourished and trained. Strengthen your gift. Nourish it. Encourage it. Develop it and grow it in every possible way. There's none of the gifts that God gives to us come fully formed and fully developed. We have to use them. And as we use them, we learn more about them and other ways to to use them in our life and service for the Master. If we're perfectly honest, there's nothing that you and I are doing for the Lord that we couldn't do much better. So we need to grow in our faith and grow in our knowledge of the Lord and grow in the use of our gifts and talents for the Master. And our gifts then should be constantly exercised, put to work. I can't understand those who claim, I say claim, who claim to have been called of God to be preachers of His Word and are content only to preach once a month. I don't understand it. I'd preach every day if I could. I understand what Jeremiah talked about when he said that God's word was like a fire in his bones. If God has given you a gift and a calling to serve him, you don't want to use it continually for his glory? So whatever calling God has given to you to be used for his glory, for the benefit of his church, for the extending of his kingdom, start using it. And come with the attitude that we find in the book of Ecclesiastes, that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Give it all that you have. And remember the words of the Savior when he said that I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Exercise your gift. Discharge the responsibilities of that role. Give yourself to it wholly, with the strength and the power of all that God has given you, your intellect, your ability, your talents, your gifts. Exercise them all for the glory of God. Put everything that you have into His hands. And let us use the gifts that God has graciously given to us. Because we're all part of one body. We've all got different functions, different abilities, different gifts, different callings. And we need each other. Because there's no one person who has all the gifts. And there's no one who has no gift. But it's only when we are all brought together as the body of Christ that our gifts intermingle and mesh with one another and we begin to accomplish the great things that God has called us to do. And may we then, in that day when we stand before Him, may we hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. May we serve Him with such gifts that He has given to us. And may we serve Him gladly. And serve Him all the days of our lives. And may we hear His well done. And the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts this morning. For His own name's sake. Amen.